Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. It's time for RTWFC Bible Talk with Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood and his wife, Betty Yearwood. For the next 2 hours, join in with us in this Internet Radio Bible Discussion program. There'll be a special singing and call in and discuss the Bible with us. And now here's your host, Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood, live in Madisonville, Tennessee.
Praise the Lord. This is the Reaching the World for Christ with Evangelist Lloyd and Betty Yearwood. We're just thankful that you called in and be a part of it with us. The subject tonight is on a double-minded man. So, you know, the scripture said, let him think that he gets nothing from God. So we understand what he's talking about there. So if you want to be a part of this service tonight, well, call in on 310-742-1759. That's 310-742-1759, and we'll put you on the line here with us to reach the world for Christ. So we're just very thankful to have each and every one to call in. So I see we've got a call in here, 706. Come on and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Hey, Brother Yearwood, it's Fruta Litchfield in Thomaston, Georgia.
Well, praise the Lord, sister. Glad you called in there. We've heard you've been a-working.
Oh, yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. If you want to call in and be a part of this service tonight, why, call in on 310-742-1759 and just join right in here with us. We're going to have a great time in the Lord and a great move of God, I believe. And so just want you to come in there and just enjoy the Lord and enjoy the Spirit of God with us. So we've got a song that we're going to play, and it's a little lengthy, but I believe it'll be a blessing to you. And well, praise the Lord. Okay, well, we can just wait a little while on that one and get some more people in here on there with us. Because I know Brother John, he probably want to hear it, and then some more there. So, sister, just go ahead and obey the Lord there.
Okay. It's been busy, but I'm doing good. Thank the good Lord, and I got to go back in tomorrow. So y'all just keep me in prayers for the next 2 days. All right,
amen.
I'm going to be reading from James 4, and I'm going to start with verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak no evil one of another brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judge the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, will go into such a city and continue there a year, buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, but then vanished away. But that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, you shall live, and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know, you have to listen to the Lord. He's got a still, small voice, and he'll tell you what to do, where to go, and what to say. And if you listen to what he says, you're being obedient. If you don't listen to what he says, you're being disobedient. And I
Amen.
Do not want to be disobedient to what he tells me to do, where he wants me to go, or what he wants me to say. Back to you.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that there, I tell you what, we need to be single-minded and be exactly what the Lord wants us to be and what He wants us to be. Praise God. So 937, come in and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Yeah, this is Brother and Sister Green here in Springboro, Ohio.
Praise the Lord.
We're just happy to be with you tonight.
Okay, we're glad you called in there. So let me get this other one on right here. Praise the Lord. But you can go ahead and go first there. Just go ahead there. Let me get this one on first, though. 661, is that you, Sister Gladys?
Yes, that's me, Brother Yearwood. This is Sister Gladys from Moorhead, Kentucky.
Okay, praise the Lord. Glad you called in there. So if anybody else out there want to be a part of this service, call in on 310-742-1759, and we'll put you right on the line there with us to just worship the Lord and obey God. So, Brother Green, just go ahead and you and Sister Green and obey the Lord there, and we got a song we're going to play here in a little while.
Okay. I understand tonight that the message is on double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and James 1 and 8. I want to turn over there and begin there in the book of James. But we know tonight that, you know, when we come to the Lord, we need to be single-minded. We need to get the Lord on our heart and on our mind, and we need to be steadfast in serving the Lord. Because, you know, the Bible telling us in the book of James, that explains to us there how that some people are double-minded. And, you know, if we're claiming salvation one day and the next day we're out in the bars and drinking and doing those kind of things, and then a week later they see us back in the church and we're praising God and shouting or doing whatever it is we're doing. Maybe we're, you know, there's Sunday school teachers out there and deacons and elders and different ones. And I was going into McDonald's one day and I met this man, and he was talking to another man there, and I heard the man cussing and saying words that he shouldn't be saying, bad words, and which was, to me, was sin. And, you know, then a little bit later, I had some tracks I was passing out, and I had a couple in my pocket there, and I gave him a track and thought, sure, the man wasn't saved, but, you know, come to find out, he said he was a deacon, and he was working in a certain church, and he was a deacon, and I couldn't hardly believe it. But see, that's where we run into certain people that, and we don't want to fall guilty of the same thing. You know, it's not that we're judging, it's just that you know a tree by the fruit that it bears. And you know, if I'm out here doing things that I shouldn't be doing, and then I go to the house of God, and then they see me going into the bar or drinking or whatever I'm doing. And I know there's people out there that don't think it's wrong to drink. But, you know, John the Baptist didn't drink any strong drink, the Bible said. And he was the forerunner of Christ. And, you know, we're in the body of Christ when we're born again. And I just don't much believe that the body of Christ ought to be drinking and taking alcoholic beverages and things. You know, we have to have food and water and different things we have to have, but there's certain things that we should give up once we come into the body of Christ, and we're to be a witness, and we're also to be a city set upon a hill which cannot be hid. And there's supposed to be a difference between us and the world. And if we still act like the world, talk like the world, use the kind of language that the world is using, and we even, I'll go so far to say, is some of the things that people wear, worldly things, you know, we have to wear clothes, we have to be modest dressed modestly and different things, but it's all because the Lord is trying to make us a city which cannot be hid. You know, when you turn the light on out there at night on your porch, you know, it'll draw those bugs out of the darkness. They come to that light. And it's the light that's going to draw people and bring them into the church. And if the church compromises with the world and has no standard whatsoever, and everything's all right, you can do what you want to, and there's no such thing as sin, I think we've missed it somewhere, because when I read the Bible, I find out that there is such a thing as sin. And I want to get into James chapter 1. I want to start here in verse 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Praise the Lord. Now I want to move over here to verse 12. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So we see here, you know, God's not tempting people. The devil is out there to tempt you. He's trying to bring things across your pathway and trying to see if you're going to, take a hold of it. And the Bible said that every man, in verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So there's still things, you know, that are sin in this world, and the Bible tells us that the soul that sinneth shall surely die over there in Ezekiel. And, Amen. You know, the devil is out to take you out of the church. He's out to get you sidelined. He wants to put you out of the game, so to speak. You know, we watch these baseball games and football games, and we see these running backs, you know, and quarterbacks and important people on the team. And, you know, the enemy, the ones they're playing against, is trying to put those important players out of the work of of that game. And that's how it is with the Christian world and the believers in the church today. We have different ones, different places that are important in the church. We know everybody's important. The Bible tells us that. There's the finger and the toes, and there's the ears and the eyes and the nose and different parts of the body. The hand cannot say to the foot, I have no need of thee. But we're all important in the body of Christ.
Amen.
But there's some members that is more important and carries a bigger load upon them that they are, I'd have to say more valuable in the work of the Lord. And certain people have a higher calling upon them. We're all called to salvation, and we're all going to be judged according to our works and rewarded according to our works. And the devil is out to take you out of the game. I want to put it that way. He's out to stop you in whatever capacity that you're working in the church. He's out to stop you. And, you know, sometimes you might start out as a doorkeeper in the house of God. David said he was glad just to be a doorkeeper in the house of God. and that would make him happy. And that was King David, and he was a man, the Bible said, after God's own heart. And, you know, the devil tried to take him out. And, you know, he used this beautiful woman called Bathsheba. And it was a time when they should be out fighting at war. And he stayed home and went up on the rooftop and looked down, seen this woman bathing. And, you know, he was a married man. And but, you know, in those days, it was not... it was kind of a custom that the kings would have more than one wife, and Solomon had many wives, the Bible tells us, and David also had quite a few wives, and he looked on this woman, but you know, this woman was a married woman, but the devil was trying to take him out, and you know, that hindered him after, you know, the story, how he called the man back home, and you know how he had him put in the forefront of the battle, and had he was killed. Uriah, I believe, was his name, and he was killed in the battle. And that's what the devil is out to do to you and I, is trying to kill us, take us out of the way. The Bible tells us, John 10, that he came, the thief has come, but for to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, I am come that you might have life. You know, there's life in Christ. And you know, when we're born again, we have that abundant life which is in Christ Jesus. And, you know, the devil can't stand you and I because we're born again. And we're in the body of Christ, and we're working in the kingdom of God. And the Lord has brought us into this thing that we might work in his vineyard, and that we might be, you know, effective in the work of God, to go into the highways and hedges and compel him to come into his house that it might be full. For he says in his words, you know, that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And, you know, it's a sad thing for men and women to die lost today when the door of mercy is still open. And it's going to be open until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. The door of mercy is going to be open. And this is the day of grace. This is the day that the Lord hath made. And it's a day to get in and rejoice and be glad in it. It's a time. Now is the accepted time, the Bible tells us. Today is the day of salvation. We're living in the day of grace. And this is the day that you can find salvation for your soul. If you're listening in out there on the radio or the internet, wherever you're at today, and you're listening into this broadcast, there's a way has been made that you can come in and be part of the family of God. And there's plenty of room in the family of God. God has made it available that anyone can come unto him, whosoever will, can come and find eternal life through Jesus Christ. As many as received him, the Bible said, to them gave he eternal life. Praise God. As many as believed on his name, he came into his own, but his own received him not, the Bible tells us. And so the door of mercy was open to the Gentile world. And whosoever will now can come. It don't matter what country you're in, or nation, or nationality. And it don't matter about the color of your skin or whatever, whoever you are, but whosoever can come and take of the water of life freely. This is the day to get in. Don't put it off. Today is the day of salvation. You know, we don't know what tomorrow might hold. You know, I thought about those tornadoes came through the country here in America.
Amen.
Last night, my daughter had dreamed the night before that there was a bunch of tornadoes coming, and that the wind was a-blowing, and there was hail and rain, and she said there was even snow, and said these tornadoes was a lot of them. And I don't know the whole dream, but I heard her talking about it. And sure enough, then the next night, here come a bunch of tornadoes. But see, God's warning us, and he's got these pastors, preachers, and evangelists. He's warning this world that we're living in. He's telling them that it's time to come and get a hold of this salvation which has been bought by the blood of Jesus on that cross 2,000 years ago. But I kind of got off my message, but, you know, the devil is out to kill, steal, and destroy. And it would be a shame for you to listen in to this broadcast and not give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him as your personal Savior. All you have to do is say, Lord, come into my heart. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he has died for my sins, that he was wounded for my transgressions, and he is the Christ of this Bible which we preach. We're not preaching another Jesus. We're preaching the one that died on Calvary 2,000 years ago. Praise God. Well, I don't want to take up too much time. Let me go to another scripture here. Praise God. And was talking over there about James, how double-minded man was unstable in all of his ways. And if any man lack wisdom, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. You see, the devil wants us to waver. He wants us to be double-minded. He don't want us to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. But he wants us to be wishy-washy. He wants to keep us in a place where we're not steadfast. He wants to keep us in a place where we're not effective. But the Bible says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And that's John 5th chapter. I believe it's the 7th verse. It talks about abiding in the vine. And if we abide in the vine, we're going to be effective in the ministry. Praise God. We will not be double-minded if we abide in Christ and we get that mind that was in Christ Jesus. And, he, you know, he was about the Father's business. He had to finish the work that the Father gave him to do. And now that we're in the family of God, we have a work to do. And that work is the one that Christ left us to do. Praise God. Now I want to read over here in Hebrews chapter 12. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You know, we're striving against sin tonight, Brother Yearwood, us pastors, preachers, evangelists, and lay members, and the men and women of God, we're striving against sin because we know that it's sin that's taking people out of the way. We know that it's sin that God is going to judge. And we can't go to heaven living in sin. We can go to heaven sick in our body, but we can't go if we're living in sin. And if any man sin, the Bible tells us we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And we're to repent of that sin, ask the Lord to forgive us. And he is faithful and just, the Bible tells us, to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So whatever problem, you know, that we have, if we have a problem falling into sin, well, the Lord told us how to get out of it, and that is to lean upon him and get down to business with him. And he said, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You know, Jesus, he was striving against sin. They took his life. They whipped him at the whipping post, and they did many things to him. Crucified him, and even John the Baptist, you know, they killed John the Baptist. He was preaching that men should repent and that they should get right with God. And we're preaching tonight on you know, not to faint and not to be double-minded. Over here in the third verse of this chapter, chapter 12, it says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind." So, you know, when you become a Christian, it's not no bed of roses. It's not no tiptoeing through the tulips. It's, you know, it's a real business. It's the business
Amen.
Of God. And it's a real battle. We're on a battlefield tonight. We're fighting for the Master. We're fighting for the Savior. We're
yes.
taking up the cross, and we're following Christ. And I'll tell you, the cross was not easy to carry. Jesus carried that cross up the hill. And the Bible said at one point he needed a helper. And they got another man to help him carry that cross. And he needs helpers today. And he wants you to get into this great vineyard of God. And he wants you to, not to be double-minded. If you're out there tonight and you're double-minded, and you're in one week and you're out the next, he wants you to get in all the way. He wants you to get in and take up the cross. He wants you to put your hand to the plow and not look back. He wants you to be steadfast. And, you know, they used to plow them fields with the old mules and the oxen, different things, and they'd have to take a hold of that plow. And I tell you, if that plow hit a rock, it's going to do some jerking on your body, and you better have a good hold on it. And I tell you, the devil's out there to put rocks in the road. He's out there to try to stop you tonight. And I don't want to see you stopped. I want to see you to make this race, to finish your course, because there's a payday down the road someday, and I want the Lord to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Praise God. I won't
Amen.
Take up too much of your time here tonight, but I want you to be saved. I want you to pray. I want you to get right with God. I want you to quit dabbling in sin, and I want you to make it. I want you to make it all the way. Praise God. And I'm going to turn it back over to you, Brother Yearwood. Praise God. Can you hear me?
Oh, praise
you,
brother. I had mine on pause there. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I thought something was wrong with my phone here.
No. Is Sister Joanne not got nothing to say?
Right now, she's not. Got anything?
Okay.
She's been busy and all.
Okay, well, Sister Gladys, just go ahead and obey the Lord there.
Okay, I praise God, and I thank you, Brother Yearwood, for inviting me on to the broadcast. I want to give God the glory because recently Brother Clint had asked for a prayer request for Brother Wendell, and I don't know if he's heard the praise report because I know he doesn't have a Facebook account. But I give God all glory. They said that Brother Wendell's cancer-free, Brother Green, and I
praise
give God the glory,
God.
You know.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. It's awesome. You know, they went to the doctor, and I guess they were first going to say that he had cancer that was active in his body, but he went to the doctor the other day, and the wife, you know, Sister Sandra, said that God wanted him to tell the testimony first. And when they got to that doctor's office, he said, Mr. Davison, he said, "You're cancer-free." And I bet she said she wanted to shout right there, and I'd say she did in that office, you know. We need to glorify our God every
That's
opportunity
right.
we can. I know I do what they call a happy dance, and God's just so good and wonderful. And prayer, truly, when you come in unity with other brothers and sisters in Christ, I know it works. I know that many times people have been sick, and we just need to boast on the Lord. We boast about everything else. We need to boast about what Jesus has done for all of us. But tonight, like Brother Green was talking about, he said in James 1:8, he said, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." You know, and I want to jump down because he covered a lot of the other verses. Then in verse 14, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." In 15, "It's then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." You know, today, a lot of people, once they get saved, they don't understand this is something you've got to do daily. You've got to seek God's face. And get in His Word, because that's how you learn more and more about the Lord. You can't keep your head and face inside of a television all day long. I'm not judging you if you watch TV.
Amen.
That's your business. You know, I try to watch the news to keep up with the updates, but sometimes I don't even pay attention to that. I didn't even know anything about that airline. I heard bits and pieces, but I wasn't interested in that. I'd rather put my mind and heart in the Word of God. I want to know more about Him, because I don't believe we'll truly know it all before we say goodbye to this world. But I know this much. The Lord has brought me out of so many things, and I know this much. You know, speaking of Facebook, you know, sometimes it's repulsive, and sometimes you just got to block those people or don't even have anything to do with them. They'll post scriptures about drugs and pot and believing in marijuana and this and that. Next thing you know, they're posting scriptures about God is good and this and that. And you can't follow a man that speaks that way, or a woman for that matter.
Yeah.
And people should just turn away from those things, because it can really cause confusion. God said He's not any part of confusion.
Amen.
He said in verse James 4 and 8, it says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You know, today, people feel like they can do one thing in the church house and walk out those doors and do something else. There's people watching your life, and you may be the only Bible they ever read. And we need to be shining the light in dark places, and today the world's getting darker all the time. And we need to show compassion. And there was a post I made today, and now I took it off. I said, Lord, that's not a good character. And what it was is a picture of, there was a big, supposedly a big cross in Alabama that fell into an adult building that these people went to. And a lot of times you see these pawn shops and adult XXX places that are packed full of cars. And it's a shame, the church houses, parking lots a lot of times are very empty. But I know this much, if we live it, we teach it right, walk uprightly before God, His Spirit will draw the people in. You know, people
Amen.
Don't realize it, but some church houses have already got the word Ichabod written above the door. You know, a lot of people
Amen.
Don't realize that Christians need to get close to God and have more spirit of discernment than they ever did before. Because we're living in a time and age and day and hour that people, you know, it's hard to believe, but it's the truth. We had a young girl coming to the church house, and I'm not going to take a lot of time either, but she was young, and she doesn't know a thing about the Lord. And as much as I love my daughter-in-law, she was raised by a Catholic woman, and she didn't know anything about the Lord either. To this day, if you were to ask my daughter-in-law, she'd say, I really don't know or understand about Christianity. We walk hand in hand, work with people, walk side by side with people that don't know anything about God. Some of them were privileged
Amen.
And blessed with a Christian home. I wasn't. I didn't know anything about Christianity. My grandmother that was saved passed away when my mother was 12. My great-grandmother raised my mother, but some of it was good and some of it was bad. You know, the example you set and the life that you walk before your children is going to be the example and light that they'll ever see. In 2 Peter 3:16, it says, He also, in all His epistles, speaking in them of these things, which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. You know, you can have strongholds in your life, and today many people that are Christians need to understand strongholds better, which basically is stating that as when you get to be a newborn creature, all things to become new in your spirit, but old habits need to die out. You've got to seek God for those things. Need to seek
Amen.
God to help Him to give you understanding. You know, I've never smoked cigarettes, never had any desire to, and I praise God for that. But those that do, I hear it's a very big struggle. You know, it's an addiction. It's nicotine that they're addicted to. But sometimes they say as Christians it's hard to die out to, but that's where we need to seek God's face. And again, it's one of those things that can lead us. You know, I'm not saying cigarettes will lead you to destruction. What I'm saying is old habits and certain simple ways will lead you to destruction. You know,
Amen.
Things that men and women used to do before they knelt on their knees and asked God's forgiveness, they need to keep seeking God for that same forgiveness. They need to go to Him repeatedly. If you sin, you know, you're not supposed to sin daily, but if you do, we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus will intercede for us and go to God and help us to seek His forgiveness. And I thank Him for that. In Psalm 12:2, it says, they speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart do they speak. In James 3:7-12, it says, for every kind of beast and every bird and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doeth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. You're not supposed to speak bad words 1 minute and then start singing praises with God the next minute. We need to get this straightened out in our lives. If you, like Brother Green said, don't dabble in sin. People think like they can straddle a fence, so to speak, is what I've always called it. You can't put 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the church house and expect to be saved. God will not bless that. You got to seek God's face and ask Him to help you walk in the Spirit. Some people say, well, it's hard to walk in the Spirit. With God's help, you can. You know, I've never been a favorite. If it's yours, one of yours, I'm sorry. But some people sing that 9, 9 and a half won't do. Well, that's because I've never felt like I could ever be perfect. And it's like I told my mom, no, I could never be perfect. With God, you can be perfect. And so that song's okay in that way. But sometimes I just cringe at that because I know I'm not perfect. And it takes the Lord Jesus Christ to live it in me. And I give Him glory tonight. And I thank you once again, Brother Yearwood, for letting me on here. I thank God for both you and the Greens. And I just pray that God will bless you coming in and going out. And I pray that many souls will be saved with this broadcast, Brother Yearwood. I'll give it back to you.
Amen. Appreciate that. That's our prayer, too, just many souls get saved, you know. It's not just to have a name in the spotlight, and I don't want my name in the spotlight, but I do want Jesus in there, and I do want to see souls saved, and I love to hear of people getting saved. Brother Ronnie Branham is a good friend of ours and a good singer. He was up in Kentucky this last weekend and said that he had a prayer line, and there was a little six-year-old girl walked through the prayer line, come up to him, and said she looked up at him, he looked down at her, and he said, honey, what do you want from the Lord? And she said, I want to get saved. And he said, how to pray. And she said, no. He said, well, I'll just pray with you. He said, you pray like I pray. And she prayed, and she said, the Lord saved her. And that was up in Kentucky. I done forgot the name of the town that he was in. I believe it's Maria or something like that, Kentucky. So, you know, I tell you what, God is still reaching down and saving them. You know, it just touches me and it blesses my heart. Every time I hear, I don't care how old they are, how young they are. If they make a confession to the Lord Jesus Christ and if the right one gets a hold of them and teach them and bring them up in the ways of the Lord, then they've got a great life ahead of them. That's what I told Brother Ronnie. I said, if the mother and daddy will keep that kid in church, oh, praise God. Hallelujah.
Yes,
glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes,
and just keep
God.
Raising it up and bringing it up in the ways of the Lord, that it don't depart from it when it, oh, hallelujah, glory, glory, hallelujah, when it is old, praise God. So I'm going to let Tim sing us a song here, then we'll get your prayer request, okay? Praise God. Yours.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. We'll get it. We got two songs. We got one song here that we're going to have him to play here in a few minutes. Once we're getting the songs straightened out here, we'll get the prayer request.
Okay. We've just got so much to thank God for tonight. We just thank Him for watching over us last night during the storm. And
amen.
For taking care of us. And just give Him all the praise and all the glory for it.
Amen.
We got a lot of prayer requests, a lot of them in real need here. We got Pastor David Crittenden is having surgery next week. He has lung cancer, so remember him. Martha Garcia, Brother Tony, that comes on with us. His mother's still in ICU, and she's still on life support. But we got a praise report that she is breathing some on her own. Her blood pressure is going up now, and her fever's coming down. So we give God the praise for that. And just keep praying for Tony and his family. And Teresa Truel had a fall, and she's in the ER in a lot of pain right now. Edith Wakefield, Lloyd Ray's first cousin, had a stroke, and she's still in the hospital. She is doing some better. She's still paralyzed on the left side, and her speech is still slurred. So remember her. Remember that daughter that's been up there with her the whole time. She needs strength. Remember Larry Corden, a lady that goes to church with us by the name of Jessie. She said she needs strength. Her daughter Patricia has stage 4 cancer, and she needs a miracle. And remember Keith Green that has cancer, and I think he also needs salvation. And we thank God for Frida getting the job that she's been praying for. And
thank you.
We just want everybody to remember all the tornado victims and storm victims that lost their homes last night and the night before, and the ones that lost their loved ones. Let's remember all them. They're in need of prayer. Remember all of our family that needs to be saved. Kevin Miller family needs prayer tonight, so remember them. Sister Debbie, let's remember to keep her in our prayers. She is doing better.
Yes. Can I give a praise report on that while I got you on here?
Yeah.
She went to the doctor today, and they had to give her another nitrate pill, but she don't have to go back until August.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Amen. Let's continue to pray for Sister Debbie.
Yes.
Did you have something else to say?
No, go ahead.
Okay. John Lovelace needs a miracle. Laura McKnight and Sister Gladys's uncle, Gary, that has cancer, needs a miracle. Pastor
Yes,
Saeed,
he's having surgery tomorrow.
Huh?
He's having surgery tomorrow, my uncle is.
Okay, we'll remember him.
Appreciate that.
Pastor Saeed is still in the hospital and in Iran, and thank God he's not in the prison right now. Let's pray for his release so he can get back to the States to his wife and children. God is moving on that situation. And let's remember Roy and Martha Sexton. They need healing in their body, but Martha had a praise report yesterday when we talked to her on the phone. She said that she's doing a lot better, and she's able to get up and walk around and do her housework now, and she's thanking everybody for praying. I guess Pastor Tim Hall probably still needs prayer and a healing in his body, and let's pray for this family that lost their 14-year-old boy last Friday night to a stomach aneurysm. He went to the Sweetwater school with some of our kids that go to church with us, and they're having a hard time dealing with it, so let's remember all them. Let's remember Pastor Rick Harris. He's got a lot of health problems going on right now, and let's just lift him up to God that God will heal him. And Randy Richardson, we got a praise report that he's doing pretty good now. So let's continue praying for Brother Randy. Let's remember Brother Eddie Bolton tonight that needs a miracle from God. his back's really giving him a problem. And let's remember Brother John's grandsons. He's got two grandsons that are in need. He's got one of them that has two types of cancer, and another grandson that has a rare disease. So let's just remember all of those. And if there's anybody else that has a prayer request, they can go ahead and give it in.
I do, Sister Eddie. Okay. I've got someone in the family that's dealing with oppression, depression, and the spirit of suicide. I've got another one that's dealing with drugs. We've got a close friend that has a daughter that's in jail for writing bad checks on her grandmother's account, actually took their car to the junkyard, unfortunately, sold the car, and it's all for drugs. Bless her heart, she needs help. She was getting Christian help for a while, and the devil went in there, and we need to lift her up before the Lord. All these needs are special and needful. Again, I hate the spirit of drugs. I hate what it's doing to these children, and I pray for all the ones that come on this broadcast, all of our children. Your kids have really been on my heart, Sister Yearwood, recently, especially your daughter. I want to lift them all up before the Lord, because what goes on in your house, you know, the Lord cares about. He cares about what's going on in my home. And in 6 weeks' time, I've got to tell my son he's got to find another place to live. As much as we love them, he knows we have standards, and I'm going to stick by them as closely as I can. And God wants us to shine a light, and we can't be wishy-washy like Brother Green said. But those are my prayer requests, my Uncle Gary, and the ministries in our church. Soon we hope to have another church built somewhere else. But God knows all about that. I'm not going to go into detail with all that.
Does anybody else have a prayer request?
I do.
Okay.
I do. We've got some things going on in court, and I want to keep this family in the prayer. And I'm going to be another grandma in August, and I want to keep all the expecting mamas in prayer. They've been out bearing on my mind, and I got quite a few in our family that are expecting. So let's just keep the expecting mamas, and everything goes like it's supposed to be planned.
Okay.
Praise
Brother and Sister Green, you have a prayer request?
Yeah, we do. Brother Billy Adams, he's in the hospital now with C. diff. I believe he had some stents put in his heart. Just remember him, prior to all that, he had colitis, so he's been in the hospital quite a while, and he's still there, as a matter of fact. So just keep him in your prayer. And also, always remember Brother Tim Hall. The Lord knows exactly what he has need of. He is not able to work. He needs a financial blessing. The Social Security that they get is very small to live on. So they're living with his son and his son's wife, and they're in very much need of prayer. Brother Hall is a great evangelist. He evangelizes all over the East Coast of the United States, and he had hip replacement back in November, I believe it was, and he was really excited for February to come because he had all these revivals lined up. He was going to go preach, and he's had to cancel them all until summer, they're telling him now. So just keep him in much prayer.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. Brother John, you got any prayer request?
Yeah, brother. Just continue to remember our church and the body. Continue to remember my wife. She went to the doctor today, the heart doctor today, and she wanted to go back for 4 months. Everything was looking good. He said her countenance was looking good. Blood pressure and everything was good. And so I just praise the Lord for what God is doing in her body and in her life and in our church. I actually, one of the reasons why I got on late tonight, I've had several phone calls tonight of prayer requests. Let's remember Brother Kevin Miller's, Sister Kelly's father's in the hospital in Indianapolis, Indiana, and he's in not very good shape, and he's been in there for a week, and also Brother Kevin's Miller family, someone might have requested it, but just remember his family all together, some situations, circumstances we can take care of. And also let's continue to remember his mother. You know, she has cancer, and she was completely healed at one time, but the cancer has come back on her. And so let's just remember them in prayer and just remember this broadcast. And these where the storms have come through and people have lost their lives and their livelihoods and things like that, where the storms have come through. And I understand that, you know, it's very much possible that some more storms are coming through in some of the areas again today and tonight. So let's just remember and lift them up also.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I tell you, some storms get rough, but I heard today that the storms come through here. I know they turned their sirens on twice here in Madisonville last night. So we got in the bathtub and we prayed and just trusted God. And I heard today on Facebook that there were some more people kneeled down in their bathrooms and was a praying. But we heard today that the storms that come through here come to Monroe County line here near the Monroe County line here in Tennessee and just picked up and went over. Didn't even touch down in Monroe County. That's the county that we live in. So that lets me know that there's prayer. Praise the Lord. So,
Brother Yearwood, on that topic, I woke up before it hit, and I prayed, and I said, Lord, I know we need the rain. And I said, but I don't want it to do any damage. And it all it done was thunder, lightning, and rain. It might have blown a few leaves and stuff, but it didn't, as far as not in our town. Now, I know it done some damage in the town up from us. They said it hit again in Barnesville again, like it did last year. But it didn't touch down in ours, and I was praying. I said, Lord, we don't want no bad weather. We don't want no bad weather. Send it off, but don't let it have no damage to wherever it goes. But I was up, and I was praying. I said, no, we don't need that. And it went over. Just
Amen.
Didn't do any damage. I said, thank you, Jesus. I know you on time when we pray for things like that.
Amen. Well, I tell you, we got Mark 4 down and read it and began to pray and seek God. And just, you know, God just seemed to move. And it hailed up here. They said that there were sizes baseball. But I didn't see none. I didn't go out. I heard them hitting the top of the house. And I know they would sound like they were going to tear the top of the house off. And I went out this morning looking at the car. I figured it'd have a lot of dents and things in it, but I only seen three small dents, and you got to look real close to see them. Prayed over it, and God just moved. So I think Betty may have another prayer request or something here.
Yeah, we need to remember Pastor Copeland's daughter-in-law. She's she was in a serious car wreck down in Cleveland, Tennessee. A drunk driver hit her head-on. And she passed, but they revived her. And I guess, to my knowledge, she's still in the hospital. So let's remember her. Her name's Sherry Choplin.
Praise.
And let's remember the family where the little boy was shot last Friday night, and his father was also shot and killed. But the little boy is recovering, and that happened in Mississippi. Let's remember that family.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer right now, then we'll have Tim to sing a song here. Praise the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come before you right now, Lord. We just lift all these prayer requests up right now, Father. Lord, we just ask, God, that you know each and every one of them. Lord, that you continue, Lord, to bless them. God, that you will meet every need, God. Every request that we're giving here tonight, Lord, we just ask you, Father. Lord, that you will touch, God. Lord, that you will move upon them in your own way, God. God, that you will just move, Father. Lord, that you will save the lost souls, God. The Lord, the one that's so near to hell, Father, without any hope. Lord, we just ask you, God, that you will save them, Lord. Sanctify them and fill with the Holy Ghost. And Lord, come that lost the loved ones, God, in these storms last night. Father, we just ask you, Lord, that you will speak peace to them, Lord, and that you will watch over them, take care of them. and Father, the storm that they're supposed to come through here tonight, Lord, we just plead the blood, God, upon them. And Father, Lord, to everybody, God, see the blood, Lord, to pass over them, God, just as He did there in Jerusalem. Lord, the blood that was over the door steps, Lord, You passed over them. And Lord, we're asking You, God, that You do the same here tonight. And Lord, we give You the praise and the glory and the honor, Father, for it all, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Praise God. Thank You. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Okay. Okay. Praise the Lord. We got trouble with our equipment again tonight. Praise the Lord. Okay. Well, Tim said he can play one song here that... Okay. We're going to play the one that... It's a little lengthy, but maybe we can get it to going here.
Oh, why do they stumble around? Why do they lay on the ground? Swaying and swinging, laughing and singing, drunk in the spirit again. Drunk in the spirit again. Drunk in the spirit again. I'm feeling fine, 'cause I'm full of new wine, and I'm drunk in the spirit again. Why do they stumble all around? Why do they pile up on the ground? Swinging and laughing and singing, drunk in the spirit again. Drunk in the spirit again. Looks like they're drunk in the spirit again. They're feeling fine, full of new wine, drunk in the spirit again.
Sing it again.
Drunk in the spirit.
You can just keep drinking right now.
Drunk in the spirit again. I'm feeling fine, full of new wine, drunk in the spirit again. Glory, I know this is real. Power that you can see and you can feel. It washes over my soul, fills and makes me whole. When I get drunk in the spirit again.
Everybody say,
drunk in the spirit again.
Drunk again.
Drunk in the spirit again.
Oh,
I'm feeling fine, full of new wine. Drunk, drunk, drunk. Nothing is bothering me. I feel so totally free. I'm filled to overflow with the power of the Holy Ghost. Drunk in the spirit again. Everybody say,
drunk in the spirit.
Drunk, drunk in the spirit. Drunk in the spirit again. I'm feeling fine, full of new wine. Drunk in the spirit.
Oh,
man, this
what you need. Oh, if you will only receive. But you can't stand and be stiff. You got to yield and believe. And you'll get drunk like the rest. If you will yield your tongue, if by faith you'll sing a new song, then starts the flow, and all good places you go when you get drunk in the spirit again. Everybody say, drunk in the spirit again. Why don't everybody help me now? Drunk in the spirit again. Oh, I'm feeling fine, full of new wine, drunk in the spirit. Why don't you stand up with me? Hallelujah. Somebody else needs to sing a verse. Any of you ministers right down here, you get a verse, you step up right here and get ready to sing it. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh. You got to cast off your fears and your pride. You got to give out what comes up on the inside. And the more you yield and flow, then the more of him you'll know. And you'll get drunk, drunk, drunk in the spirit again. Everybody say, drunk in the spirit again. Drunk in the spirit.
Drunk in the spirit.
Oh, oh, oh. I'm feeling fine, full of new wine. Drunk in the spirit again. Hallelujah. Somebody sing me a verse.
I'm no longer feeling blue.
No longer.
I don't bother about the devil's bad news.
Yeah.
I'm going through.
Yeah.
Got done something new.
Yeah.
And I'm getting drunk in the spirit again.
Oh, I got a drunk in the spirit. Hallelujah. Somebody else has got a verse. Get ready. I know this is real. Just be ready. Power you can see and you can feel. When it comes up like a mighty flood, then you know you're clean by the blood. And you get drunk in a holy way. Hallelujah. Go ahead, sing.
In the spirit again. Drunk in the spirit again. The future looks bright. I don't need to wear sunglasses at night. 'Cause my God has given me new sight.
Oh, drunk in the spirit. You need to be getting verses all over right now. You may not have to sing them up here, but God will give you. You can step into this flow right now. You can start it so that you can flow all night.
We're moving from glory to glory, from one level of glory to the next level of glory. Holy Ghost and fire, Holy Ghost and fire, drunk in the Spirit again. Drunk in the Spirit again. Drunk. Drink. Just lift up your hands, lift up your voice, and magnify the Lord. It's time to drink.
there's a stirring flow. Anyone can step in if they will believe. It'll lift you to a higher place. It'll move you in a greater grace when you get filled with the Holy Ghost. Some folks say I'm too straight. Other folks, they say I'll just wait. But Jesus called you a new bottle. So step on the throttle and get drunk in the Spirit again.
Yeah!
Drunk in the Spirit
again. Yeah.
Drunk in the
Spirit again. I'm feeling fine, full of new wine.
Drunk in the Spirit again.
You see, I have a blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. And I can be born of the Spirit and know that I'm doing fine. You see, I'm drunk tonight on a new wine. Cause I'm drunk in the Spirit again.
Yeah, drunk in the Spirit.
Yeah.
Drunk in the
Spirit again. Full of new wine, drunk in the Spirit. Somebody through here's got one now, come on. You don't have to make everything right. You don't have to fit in the rhythm all the time. If you just speak out what you got in your heart, then you begin to add your part, and you can get filled with the Holy Ghost. Just step out by faith. You can only do it by God's great grace. It's like speaking in tongues, only it's in a song. Cause you're full in the Holy Ghost.
Feeling a little tight. Jesus said it's all right. If you want to get where you don't give a rip, just take a little sip and get drunk in the Holy Ghost tonight.
Praise the Lord. We've shut it off. We won't play all of it, but I tell you what, that is a wonderful song. That makes about four times I've heard it today, and I've really enjoyed over it, because I tell you, that's stirred my fire up, and it set me on fire, so I just praise God for it. So, Brother John, go ahead and obey the Lord there.
Does everybody ask?
Well, Sister Green, I don't know if she's going to say anything or not. She's the only one that's not. So you're her one to go ahead.
I'm here, Brother Yearwood.
Go ahead and let everybody else go. I'll go last, Brother.
Okay, just go ahead there, Sister Green.
Okay, mine's not a lot, Brother Yearwood. It's just a thought about how in the scripture, James 4, and I know that's where you guys are, it says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God in verse 7. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I was thinking how there's some resistance in this. You know, when we first come to Christ as a babe in the Lord, you know, there's things right off the bat that we know not to do and that we try to work on and let God just clean us up. When I went to the altar, and when you go to the altar, praise God, you're already, when you ask God to forgive you of your sins, you know, and you mean it, all of your sins, you're already sanctified, praise God. And then there's some things that you got to do. You might have to go home and you might have to get into your refrigerator and you might have to pour out some things. I remember Evangelist Bill Hicks, he had called his sister, the twin sister that he has, and said, "You mean I got to give this up and give that up?" And she says, you sure do. And, you know, he was talking about his alcohol. And so, you know, because he loved the Lord so much, because he was so happy that the Lord had saved him, he got in the refrigerator and he began to pour out some things. He began to clean house, so to speak. And you know, I remember, Brother Yearwood, when I got saved, I went in and I got into my dresser drawers, and I remember that I pulled out some things that I wasn't going to wear anymore because I thought it would offend God, and I'm not going to do those things. And then, you know, you just do things to please the Lord because you truly love Him. And, you know, we can't live too close to Him. He will never tell you when you face Him face to face, He will never tell you, "Depart from me because you live too close." So, you know, and what I laid down back then, 21 years ago, I never picked them up today, and I refuse to do that. As a matter of fact, I want to draw even closer to Him, and I could always move up in Christ. So the Word says here, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." So, and I was listening to Sister Gladys there, and we're friends on Facebook, and we're friends from way back when I got saved 21 years ago, and thank the Lord for Facebook because, you know, when we move away and we're living in different states, and, you know, it would have been hard to ever find her again. So, you know, the Lord knew what He was doing when He allowed man to have the knowledge to invent social network. And, you know, people misuse that, but I believe it's a tool we can use to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And a lot of people misuse it, and one minute, like she says, they're putting on their scriptures about the Bible and how God, how good He is and what He's done for them, and the next day they're cussing every breath and mad at the football team and the basketball team, and which doesn't mount to a hill of beans about nothing. And, you know, and what would you give in exchange for your soul, the Bible says. So God's looking for sold-out people, like Brother Green said, steadfast, unmovable, that the devil can't change. Praise God. So, you know, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, the Bible says. So, you know, we need to get a pure heart. He says right here what to do. He says, cleanse your hands. But first of all, he says, draw nigh to God. Get saved. That's how you draw nigh to Him. Go down, find your place to pray, and you draw nigh to Him. You start talking to Him, and you ask Him to forgive you of your sins. He will draw nigh to you. He will begin to deal with your heart and speak to you what He wants you to get rid of and what He wants you to not do anymore. And then He puts things on you to do. He might want you to witness to the lady in the grocery store or to the man in the tackle where they do the fishing and they buy the equipment to go fishing. He might want you to talk to that man right there. And, you know, you just got to obey God, so He'll begin to draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands. Wash your hands, the things that you do. You know, if you're looking at things on the Internet, your hands are scrolling and doing the clicking and all that. And if you're looking at bad things, He said, cleanse your hands. And if you're doing anything else that's ungodly, that's not pleasing to God, cleanse your hands. And He said, ye sinners, He's talking to the sinners, and purify your hearts. So if it's not in your heart, your mouth is not going to speak it. And I tell this to Rachel, and because she can't understand how, you know, we could go to churches and she meets up with other kids her age and older than her and been going to church for a long time, and she doesn't understand how come they can say the slang words where we've brought them up that the slang words are bad words also. You don't say those. So when they say a slang word to her, they're cussing. And I said, Rachel, if it's in their heart, it's going to come out, because one girl said, I can't help it. I said, if it wasn't down in her heart, she wouldn't be speaking that. So we got to cleanse our heart, and out of our heart, our mouth speaketh. Praise the Lord. Out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaketh. So if it ain't in there, if your heart's clean, it ain't going to come out. If you smash your thumb with a hammer, you ain't going to come out with no big old bad word. And God's good, you know. But, you know, if you mess up, let me tell you this. If you mess up, you have an advocate with the Father. Don't you dare quit because of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if you mess up, then check yourself. You go back to the altar and say, Lord, is there anything in there? Is there anything down in my heart that made me say that? I am so sorry. If I get ill with somebody, if I have a bad attitude, I have to go back and repent and pray. I'm truly not perfect. But, you know, we're supposed to strive to be perfect. But if we mess up, we have an advocate with the Father. And then he's talking. He said, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And then he's talking to them that say that are Christians. You know, he told them in the Church of Philadelphia in Revelation. He said, I know them that say that are Jews, that they are Jews and are not. And he said he would make them the synagogue of Satan. So, but he knows us that are claiming to be born again. He knows our very intent of our heart. Praise the Lord. And I just thank the Lord. And I've got a little song here, Brother Yearwood, if you don't mind. I don't have no music to go with it. And if you don't care, I'll just sing a little chorus of it, if that's all right.
Go ahead.
And then I'll turn it back to you. It goes like this. I think, I'm not really sure who wrote it, and I wish I knew the whole song. I've never heard the whole song, but it was a black man that sung it. That where I first heard it was Brother Wilson. Tommy Wilson. He's done gone on with the Lord, and he was preaching in the pulpit when something happened. I don't know if he had a stroke or a heart attack, but a few years back, he had went on to be with the Lord. That was the most amazing funeral I had ever been to. There was people of all over the place, and that place was packed. It was huge, the church was. And Sister Loretta is his wife. And I remember they started singing, I can't think of it right now, but when they started singing the song, Sister Loretta got up and she started shouting all around that coffin, and the people started getting in, her family folks, and oh my goodness, it was amazing. I've never seen a funeral like that. And you know, he said to weep when they're born, that's when you're to cry, because that's when they come into this old world, this old sinful world, and rejoice if they're going to go out, and you know they've been living a good life, and they've pretty much, by the life they live, preached their own funeral, and they weren't double-minded. They just preached their own funeral, and he says to rejoice about that. So that was amazing. And he's saying something like this. He says, God, he wants somebody real. My God, he wants somebody real. Somebody who's saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost filled. My God, he wants somebody real. He wants somebody who'll go to church on Sunday, then won't turn around and live in sin on Monday. Somebody who's steadfast, unmovable, that the devil can't change. God, he wants somebody real. My God, he wants somebody real. My God, he wants somebody real. Somebody who's saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost filled. My God, he wants somebody real. And he wants just that. And you know, how do we know if we're walking in the obedience of God? We read and we study his word. The King James Bible, we read and we study that. And we line up. Bible says line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. Praise God. We get this as we go and we grow in the Lord. And we allow God to teach us. Praise God. Back to you, Brother Yearwood.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that there, Sister Green. Brother John, this morning I know by the Lord.
Okay. Has everybody else already went, brother?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, everybody else done went.
Double-mindedness. I don't know who's brought out. You know, I really don't want to bring out scriptures that's already been brought out, other than I know that the Bible says out of the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses shall every word be established. We are trying to establish a witness. Amen. On this broadcast and through this broadcast and to the people tonight, we are talking about double-mindedness and receiving nothing from the Lord. I know that as Sister Green brought it out, that's, and when I came in, amen, I know she brought out out of James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8 just then. And I'm going to go to James chapter 1. Some of you probably already brought this out, but I want to bring out some of the scriptures that God and the Holy Spirit has dealt with me about. It says, James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. This was a greeting, amen, to those that had been scattered, amen. You know, the Bible says that the shepherd had been smitten and the sheep were scattered. And this was a time of the persecution of the church. This was a time, as it is present day, a persecution of the church. And so many are being scattered, amen, amen, having a shepherd. And, amen, I thought about the young people. I thought about your five children. I thought about your Gladys's children. I thought about Brother and Sister Green's children, amen, especially the older children. Now that, amen, that talks about by the prophet Joel, amen, that was like a Garden of Eden before, and the palm worm and the canker worm and the locust, amen. And he said, tell your children and your children's children and your children's children up to the four generations, amen, how that they had come and devoured. And I'm thinking about the times, amen, that our generation, amen, and even many of my children, even though they were raised up in church, some of them are in church right now, some are doing their ministry, but a lot of them have, unfortunately, have gone by the wayside, amen, because, hallelujah, they've been scattered because the shepherd has been smitten to them, amen, amen, and he saw them, amen, and he saw them as a people having no shepherd, and that's what's happening to the generation, amen. They don't have a word to be established. This generation is a double-minded generation, amen, amen, because what is happening, amen, the Bible says, amen, I'm just going to go on to it. You know, the scriptures teach us out of Matthew chapter 6, hallelujah, and verse 24 says, no man can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's riches. What's happening in the generation, not only the generation of the young people, but amen, there's been an introduction of another master. Hallelujah, but we only have one master tonight, amen, amen, because we're double-minded with another master, another ruler, amen, hallelujah. Many people have said we'll not have this one rule over us. The Lord Jesus Christ, the prodigal son, declared, and even though he had everything given to him, amen, it's a sad thing, amen, when the young people, amen, not only the young people, I'm talking about, amen, it's not, I'm not talking about age tonight, I'm talking about, amen, his little ones, I'm talking about God's little ones, who God ruled up in their house, amen, in the Father's house and had everything they had need of and more than they had need of. The scripture teaches in Luke chapter 15 that the prodigal son, amen, as he come and he got to a place of being in want. You know, David said in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If we want perfectness and completeness tonight, we only have one master to serve, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You only have one master, and he's in heaven tonight. But hallelujah, this has become a double-minded world, a double-minded place. Amen. And the Bible teaches that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He's like a sea tossed to and fro. One minute they're here, one minute they're there. The generation, amen, is even talked about, amen, the latter days, they would say Christ is here, and the generation of either of those knowing the word of God will follow after that much fruit. They will go into the desert to follow Christ. When Christ's word himself said, do not go there, I'm not there. Amen, the church, amen. And I'm talking about not the true church, I'm talking about those that do not have an ear to hear, but a double-minded church is unstable in all its ways. When you have leadership and blind leaders of the blind, the Bible says, what do you do? Jesus said, leave them alone. If the blind leave the blind, that both shall fall into the ditch. Unfortunately, we've got a whole generation of church that have been ditch diggers. They've been digging themselves in a hole. They've been double-minded and digging that hole and dusting that dirt and throwing dirt and throwing muck and throwing mud. Amen. But hallelujah. You know what we need to do with mud? As God did, amen. Turn it and God breathed into it and it became a living soul. Amen. We don't need like the church. The disciples were double-minded when they went by the blind man in John chapter 9. And the first thing they saw him, they knew, amen, amen, that he'd been blind from birth. And it went well about, hallelujah. And what did they said, who did sin, him or his parents? Amen. They all met the thought. They were double-minded. They didn't have the mind of Christ. Amen. They were double-minded. And their double-minded with their mind was, this man sinned. That's why he's blind. Hallelujah. He told him in Luke chapter 18. He said they told him about those that had the blood was mingled in the Galileans, amen, in Pilate. And he said, Suppose he that they were greater sinners than you, he said, except you repent likewise, you shall also perish. We need to know tonight, there's not a one of us above another. You need to know that God is no respecter of persons. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And hallelujah. When we come in, we need to know that when he was dying on the cross, he wasn't double-minded. He wasn't unstable. His mind was set upon us. The Bible says he endured the cross. Hebrews chapter 12. He said, looking for the joy who was set before him. What was that joy? That joy was each and every one of you underneath the sound of my voice tonight. He said, looking unto Jesus Christ, he endured the shame of the cross. Amen. And humbled himself. Amen. He wasn't double-minded. He had the one mind. He had a course. Tonight we have a course and we have a purpose tonight. Amen. And we don't need to serve two masters. The Bible says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? That's what he told them. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Because they begin to think their belly had become their God. They had to think about what they were going to eat. Their raiment, their fashion. Amen. It's what they looked like. Hallelujah. Just like Sister Green said, she had another fashion before she came to Jesus. But I'm going to tell you something. When you come to Jesus, he'll change your fashion. He'll change your accessories. Hallelujah. He'll put you on. Amen. He'll adorn you as a bride. Amen. As a daughter, he'll give you fine linen. The Bible says it was given unto a wife. The wife has made herself ready. Hallelujah. And he gave the fine linen. Amen. The white linen. He gave his adorned. Amen. Hallelujah. As a bride. And that's what he wants to adorn you with tonight. He wants to adorn you with his grace and mercy. He wants to give you the garments of praise for your spirit of heaviness. He wants to adorn you with humility so that he can exalt you, because humility comes before honor. Amen. And they begin to think about the meat, but they weren't thinking about Jesus. That's what's happening in the world today. Their thoughts are not on Jesus. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, I will keep thee in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, and trusteth in the Lord. But amen. We've got a double-minded nation, a double-minded world,
amen.
A double-minded life. And the Bible says, hallelujah, he said, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into your barns. You hear him? My father feedeth him. Are you not much better than they? Amen. The prodigal son, he had it all, but yet he had nothing. Amen. There are those of you, amen, that have made yourself rich, yet have nothing. And there are those of you underneath the sound of my voice that have nothing, yet have great riches. Amen. Through his poverty, amen, you become rich tonight. I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus Christ gave us all. He submitted himself unto death. Amen. So that you, that is a resistance. There's no greater resistance than the resistance. Amen. But the Bible says this, as Stephen the martyr in Acts chapter 7 said, you always do resist the Holy Ghost. Amen. The problem is, we talk about resistance. We talk about, amen, in the latter days Christ spoke of wars and rumors of war. But the greater resistance that's coming is resisting the Holy Ghost of God tonight. Amen. We quench. Amen. As the song was speaking there and singing, he said, we're drunk, amen, in the spirit. You need to know, amen, it's not fermented. Amen. In the world, amen, the wine has to be fermented. In fact, it's actually bacteria. Amen. They found out. Amen. If you let it sit around for a while, amen, it'll cause, amen, you to lose your mind. It'll cause you to have a perverted mind. Amen. It'll cause you to have a double mind. You know, that's the reason why that Sister Green brought out about you. Amen. Brother Heath, I believe it was, that brother, amen, he came in there and he looked at his alcohol. That was something that was making him double-minded. But when he come to Christ, he only had one master, only one mind. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, let this mind that be in you that is in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, let your affections on things on others rather than the things of yourself. He said, take no thought. We're not to take a thought upon ourselves. We're not to take a thought about what we're going to wear. Amen. We're clothed with humility and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, but what has happened? What has happened to our, amen, to our young people? They've done become double-minded. Mammon and riches and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of sin. All these things have come. They don't have a good ground. Amen. They haven't learned. Amen. They haven't received them. Many of your parents, my Lord, you have taught them to good ground. You taught them how to receive the seed, which is the word of God. But what has happened? Hallelujah. The enemy has come in and stole the word of God. They heard the word of God, but it ended up in the fowls of the air. Amen. The second one, amen. They were great. They had no root. They endured for a while, but the sun come up. Hallelujah. When the sun come up, they withered away because they had no depth. Amen. So many of our young people, when I say young people, I'm talking about everybody. When, amen. These people that don't have the word of God, hallelujah, deep down here. David said, hide thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Hallelujah. I mean, it's got to be hidden. But the problem is, amen, too many of us want to be like little children. You know, children grow up. Amen. The first thing you want to do is train them. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way it should go, and his soul not depart from what? Depart from the training. And we've given them the training. They'll come back to the training. But what has happened is we've got a generation that's surrounding them. There's no one to lead them. There's no one to guide them because they don't want to be with the parents. They want to get out from the house like the prodigal son. They want to receive the inheritance and go off into the world and have a good time and have a party time and lay up in the harlots, amen, and all this, and end up in a pit, in the whole trough of life. But you need to know something. There's something you need to know about a sow. A sow, when you clean it up and bring it out of the mud, it will return back to the mire. A dog, when it vomits, hallelujah, it'll turn back. It's done now, but for a while, it won't be long before it turned back. Why? Because it's not, the nature isn't changed. They don't have a mind. They have a double-minded man, and they're unstable in all their ways. And you need to know tonight, he said, why can't you talk? Verse 27, which of you, by taking thought, can have one keep it to your stature? And he said, right, taking thought for raiment, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. You have to understand, God clothed the grass of the field, God clothed the lilies of the valley. He said in the songs of Solomon, I'm the rose of Sharon, I am the lilies of the valley. Oh, hallelujah. The lilies are annual that come back every year. They endure. Amen. You need to know tonight the Lord Jesus Christ is enduring. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Brother, you have much time, my God. I don't want to take up too much time. You still there, brother?
Yeah, hello? I'm still here. Pray and obey the Lord, brother.
How much time you got, brother? Pardon?
You got 27 minutes. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. So, I don't mean to take up time. It says, wherefore, God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? You know, that's what it talks about. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, over there in James chapter 1, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. But let him ask in what? In faith. Faith in what? Faith in who he's asking. You know, the Bible says, I believe it's in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, 14, and 15, that if we ask according to his will, we know that we have the confidence that if he's heard us, that he will give us what he's heard. Oh, God's got an ear. His ear is not short tonight. He's hearing your prayer.
Amen.
That's what it's talking about. The Bible says, double-minded man receive nothing. What does that mean? He said, a double-minded man can pray all night long and not receive anything. His prayers will not be answered tonight, church. Oh, what did James say? He said, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. In other words, count it all joy. Rejoice when you're being tried and being endured. Count it all joy when you fall in the hands of the living God, when you love him, amen. When you're leaning on the everlasting arm. He said, when his own arm that brought salvation. What did he say in Isaiah 59? He said, Lord, who hath believed our report? Who hath believed the arm of the Lord? Hebrews 12:2 says, the others received a good report by faith. That report, that arm of the Lord, is the Lord Jesus Christ. But what's happened is that they've got two masters. He said, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall ye eat, or what shall ye drink, or where shall ye be clothed? For after all these things, even the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. God knows that ye have need of raiment and clothes. He feeds the fowls of the air. He's going to feed you. In fact, the Bible says in Psalms 37:25, King David said, I was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging bread. Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son, when he came to himself, he said, even the servants in my father's house had more than enough bread to spare. You know what? According to the scriptures, not one believer, I mean, it's the sound of my voice, not one believer. Now this is reserved to the believers. There should not be one believer going hungry tonight. No way, according to the Word of God. No way,
Amen.
According to the Word of God. God's word is true. I hate
Amen.
To say this.
Amen.
Some of you are going to be offended in his word tonight, but let God's word be true and every man a liar.
Amen.
Every man a liar tonight. God's word is true. You shall know the truth and truth shall set you free. What shall set you free from? We were born of Abraham. We're of Abraham's seed. We were born free. What are you free from? Your sin. Your sin and your iniquities tonight. He'll set you free. You shall know the truth. John chapter 8, verse 32, I believe it is. You shall know the truth and truth shall set you free. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You want these things? But what is happening? Oh, getting back to the thought there about the children and training, you know what's happening right now? We've got grown children. You know what they want? They want us to feed them, spoon feed them. They want spoon-fed blessings. Come on, church. They want spoon-fed blessings. The children, they don't want to work for it. They don't want to act for it. That takes too much, amen? They want to sit in their high chairs, their spiritual high chairs, and put on their beds, and they want to stand and feed them. It's too much work for me to go out and do this. Mommy, Daddy, you let me do this. I'm just going to go in and come to the children. They don't want to lift their hands. The Bible says, what did he say? He said, you Pharisees? He said, you come past one proselyte. That's a Gentile who comes into Judaism. He said, you come past him and make them now twice the child of hell than they were before. You know why? Hallelujah. Because tonight there are many that are serving two masters. They're double-minded, and their mind is not on the Lord. They're not asking in faith, and they don't even know what faith is. Because you know what? Faith comes by hearing by the word of God, according to Romans chapter 10. But they're not hearing the word of God. They're not even coming to the Father's house to hear the preacher, to hear the word of God, to have faith. And without faith, the Bible says, it's impossible to please him. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, we must believe that he is, and he is the reward of those that diligently seek him. Amen. But without faith, they can't have faith. They don't have the word of God. They don't have the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're double-minded men, and they're unstable in all the ways. One time they're here, and the next night they're there. Amen. And they're going through. And here's what's happening. Just like Sister Aguirre said, these drugs, amen, have become their master. This alcohol has become their master. These addictions have become their master. All these things have become their master. And they're serving the master of this and the God of this world. And they don't know the one and only true master. Amen. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and my commandments are not grievous, you know, too many times. Amen. Just like it said right out there in James chapter 4, we said, well, we can't live that way. No, you can't. But Christ is in you can. I can do all things. The Bible says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You need to know tonight, amen, as believers, there's only one life to live. There's only one master to serve. And the Bible says, that Apostle Paul said that the life that I now live is not I that live, but Christ that lives within me. Too many people are trying to live this spiritual realm in the flesh. Cannot be. The Bible says the carnal mind of man is enmity against the things of God. There's either the natural man, the natural mind, the natural master, or the spiritual mind. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, the spiritual mind is life and peace, but the carnal mind is death. Tonight, we need to know. We need to make up a mind. We need to have a... In fact, you know what you need to do? You need to lose your mind and have on the mind of Christ. The only way you want to live this way is to lose your mind. Leave the old man behind. Leave the old man behind. Leave the first Adam. First Adam was flesh. Second Adam was a quickening spirit. That second Adam, amen, in Jesus Christ is a second chance, amen. Amen. This is a lifetime event. And all of you, as the sound of my voice, that have not received the Lord Jesus Christ, get out of that double-mindedness, because right now you cannot receive not one other thing from the Lord until you get single-minded and have the mind of Christ. Amen. And when you ask, if you lack wisdom, I don't know how to do it. All you got to do is ask. Ask who? Don't ask this one. Don't ask this one. The Bible says, ask God, who giveth all men liberally and obeys not. But when you ask, ask in faith, believing that you're going to receive. Believing that you have the petition, believing the word of God tonight, amen. Hallelujah. There's so many more scriptures I give, but I'm going to take a million more of your time. But receive the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Be single-minded tonight, amen. Come unto the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, let your patience have perfect work. In other words, the trial of your faith worketh patience. The Bible says, I believe it's in Luke chapter 21, verse 19, in your patience possession your soul. You have to understand, amen, that as you are in trial, Too many people don't want to go through the fire. Too many people don't want to go through the flood. Too many people don't want to go through the water. Too many people, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 43, he'll be with you. He'll be with you. He was with the three Hebrew children. He'll be with you. He'll be with you. Amen. He knows how to deliver the just. Amen. The righteous out of the fire. He delivered Lot, amen, who was vexed, amen, with the things that were around him, amen. And God knows how to deliver the godly, amen, and the righteous out of temptation. He knows how to make a way of escape. He will with temptation. No temptation. Well, Brother John, you don't know what I went through. No, I don't, but Jesus does. Amen. And with that temptation, with that trial, well, you didn't have to do what I did. Yeah, you're right, I didn't, but Jesus did. Amen. He's already went with. We have a high priest tonight who's been touched with the feeling of our infirmity. You have no excuse. The Bible says, man, in Romans chapter 1, you're without excuse tonight for to serve him. What happened is the invitations went out. They all with one consent make an excuse. Are you going to make an excuse to miss your own wedding tonight? Because those invitations, you're the bride of Christ. You can either receive it, be a part of it, or you can be a runaway bride. And what you're going to run away to is the greatest wedding event of the blood of the Lamb of God. And the alternative is, guess what? It's not a fellowship hall. It's not a thing. If you don't attend that wedding with the wedding garments on, there's only one alternative. You're going to be a one-way bride, and the thing you're going to run to is the lake of fire. Do you want to do that tonight? Oh, the double-minded man, amen, is going to turn from the waves into the lake of fire into the bottomless pit, amen, and hallelujah. Tonight, I'm going to give it back to you, Brother Yearwood. Make your choice to be single-minded and let one master serve him tonight. And the Lord Jesus, he said, you'll hold on to the one and hate the other. If you have any other masters in your life, the Word of God tells me one thing. If you're holding on to anything else tonight, you're not holding on to Jesus, and you will not make it. Go ahead, Brother Yearwood.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful word there. I tell you, that's what it's going to take, is getting a single mind with Christ, you know. Double-minded man ain't going to get nothing from God. But, you know, I tell you, God is not to offer confusion, but he is to offer love and peace and joy and all of that. So we don't have to worry about nothing else, but just realize that God is a single-minded man, and he is looking for a single-minded people, you know. Scripture, I mean, the title of the message is tonight that a double-minded man thinks he gets anything from God, you know, or I see here. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, that's what's wrong with the world today. They're unstable in all their ways. And but we're going to be coming tonight we may use some of James there, but we're going to be coming from 1 Corinthians there in verse 28 and verse 8. There's where we're going to start out at. So just turn with us there and just worship the Lord with us.
Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of God, keep and seek all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you and after you forever.
Amen. You know, he's talking about commandment here, and you know, I think the word teaches us over there, and I believe in about the 14th chapter of St. John over there, he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And you know, God's word is commandment, and they are to be perfect, and they are to be pure, and we're supposed to be undefiled with God's word. And you know, if we get cleansed through the word of God, we'll go somewhere, we'll do something with the Lord. But if we don't, praise God, we're going to miss the boat. We've got to must first, as Brother, Sister Joanne was bringing out there, James 4 and 7, submit yourself therefore to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And you know, that's what people needs to do today, is submit themselves unto God. And you know, I believe when we submit ourselves unto God, We can look then in Matthew 5:48. He said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven perfect. God is a perfect person, and he don't have no defiled spirit. Praise God, whenever you get saved, you've got a perfect spirit living in you. I know, praise God, that times we might mess up, but as was they done said here tonight, if they do, they have an effort with the Father. His Son, Jesus, blood will cleanse us from all sin. He tells us over there in 1 John over there, he said, beloved, I write unto you that you sin not. But if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, and his blood, his Son, blood will cleanse you from all sin. And I'm telling you tonight, I praise God, that we've got to first submit ourselves unto God, and we get that true, undefiled spirit living down in our hearts and down in our minds. We're going to be a single-minded person toward God. We cannot, as Brother John was saying there a while ago, serve two masters. We either going to serve one or hate the other. We're going to try to hold on to one and try to serve the other one. Brothers and sisters, we cannot do that. We've got to either turn to one or the other. And I'm so thankful tonight that we can turn to God. I'm so thankful tonight that God's Word teaches us that a double-minded man gets anything from God. As Brother John, I was a minister there a while ago, people will go and they will do this and they'll do that, and they think that they're going to get an answer from God. I've had my kids, they're lost and don't even know the Lord, but they'll come up sometimes, say, Daddy, I prayed and God heard my prayer and he done this or he done that. All I can do is tell them how the Word says that he hears not a sinner's prayer except he be repentant. Tonight, my friend, if you're dabbling in sin, you've got a double mind, and you cannot pray and get an answer from God, because God will not justify himself and go over into the sin to let you get your needs or your blessings. But praise God, he is a God that is pure. He is a God that's holy. He is a God that said that he would not give a double-minded man his prayers. Praise God, and need to pray tonight. People need to get their hearts right with God, and they need to cry out to God, and they get the commandment of God down in their life, you know. Praise God, I thank God tonight because I feel the presence of God here tonight. Hallelujah. I'm going to let Sister Betty read some more here.
2 Corinthians 15:1-2. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Ezra, and said unto him, hear ye me, Asia, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you be with him, and if ye seek him, he will be found of you, but if ye forsake him, he will forsake you.
Praise God. You know, I tell you what, there it's plain to us, if we'll seek God, he will find us. But if we deny the Lord, he's going to deny us. You know, Jesus said over there in one passage of Scripture, I can't remember exactly where it's at. It's over in the New Testament. He said, if you be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before the holy angels and before my Father. I'm so thankful tonight, praise God, that we don't have to be ashamed of God, but we can go to the Lord and know, praise God, beyond every shadow of a doubt, that God is looking for people to be holy and to be dedicated and not be a double mind. I'll tell you what, praise God, we need to realize tonight that God is looking toward people tonight to make themselves pure and holy, and let a double-minded man think that he get anything from God, because he cannot get it. Praise God. Right here in verse in James 1 and verse 7, it says, "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." Praise God. I tell you, I was sitting there a while ago, and my kids, they pray, and I tell them, I say, look, you can't get nothing from God because you're a sinner. And God said he don't hear a sinner's prayer, but he will hear if you're repenting, if you're calling out on God and telling God that has mercy on you and you're sorry for your sins. God will hear, and he will answer you then. Let's look into verse 8 there in James 1 there. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, praise God, I believe Brother John was talking about there a while ago, people running from one place to another. That's the way the devil will use people. He will tell them, say, oh, you can go here and you can go there. You can do this and you can do that. And that's all right. But, my friend, I got news for you. Praise God, you cannot. You're going to have to come with a single mind and a single heart into
Amen.
The Lord. You're going to have to realize that God is looking for somebody to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. There's too many people today is going out thinking that they're doing themselves a favor. But my friend, praise God, we've read it there in the Word that a double-minded man think that he gets anything from God. I tell you what, it's a shame tonight that the devil have got people blinded and deceived. They think that they're doing all right, but my friend, they're not doing okay. They first got to come back and repent of their sins. Hallelujah.
Amen.
24:20. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of, I can't say that word, the priest, who stood above the people and said unto them, Thus saith God, why trespass ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, and he hath forsaken you, also forsaken you.
Amen. Praise God. You know, I tell you, that there is what a lot of people needs to know tonight. If they will forsake God, God will forsake them. He done told us here in his Word that what we've got to do. We've got to have the commandments of God, and we got to love him, and we got to do the things that he said for us to do if we ever want to make heaven our home. Let's look into Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. And you know, today there's people are trying to lean on their own understanding. These people today are trying to lean up on their own arms and everything, but they ain't going to get nowhere by doing that. Let's look into verse 6. It said, In all thy ways knowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And you know, praise God, tonight, my friend, all of our ways, we must lean upon the Lord and let him direct us as our path. And you know, his light will shine for us. And I believe in one passage of Scripture, I'm going to kind of paraphrase this a little bit. If we will let him, let his light shine out for us, his light will shine under our feet. Praise God, and we'll be able to see where we're walking. We'll be able to see where we're standing at. Praise God, I tell you what I'm thinking tonight, that we need to turn our lives over and turn it around. Praise God, and get of double-minded men and women needs to turn themselves around and understand what does saith God and keep His commandments. Praise God, except they keep His commandments, they will come up short because He's telling us there if we will forsake Him, He will forsake us. And I tell you what, it's a time that we need to know beyond every shadow of a doubt that our mind is set and our eyes fixed on the throne grace of God, that one day that we will hear Him say, well done, you've been faithful over a few things, and I'm going to make you rulers over many things. That's my heart desire. I tell you, it'd be pitiful. It'd be sad for many on that day. They think as they're doing God a service, and they think they're pleasing unto God, but they're living a double life. And when they stand before Him, they're going to hear Him say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I knew you not. Let's look into Psalms 119 and verse 5. It says, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And you know, that's what it's all about tonight. Praise God that we can have that light, and He is that light. He will be the light for our path. And I praise God tonight for everything that He's done and for everything that He's going to do. I praise Him tonight for the services that we've had here on this broadcast. I appreciate each and every one that called in and ministered tonight because we ministered the Word of God. And the people out there that's listening, I pray that you get a blessing out of this, and I pray that you're out there and undone and don't know the Lord as your personal Savior. I pray before it's ever too late that you will repent and that you will take your heart and turn it around. As our pastor said there other night, he don't understand how that God can take a black heart and apply red blood to it and turn it around and make it white as snow. I tell you what, I don't either. But when He gets the sins out, I understand that your soul's going to be white. And I tell you what, when He gets it white, praise God, it'll be wonderful then. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I say that we've got about 3 minutes left here, so Brother John, you can come in there and tell us about your church there.
Said that real quick. I just want to say this. The Bible speaks of the parable of the talents and the pounds. What we need to realize tonight is Christ gave, it was likened unto a man who went to a far country. He gave to one 5, one to 2, and one 1. What happens when we're double-minded tonight, we do the same thing that the man who had the one, he went out and buried it. Anything that's buried, it means to be dead. The reason why you can't receive anything, because he knew in the end, he already knew that that man was going to bury it. But what has happened is he took that from the man who had just buried what he had given him and gave it to the one who had occupied till he comes. And tonight, amen, if you want to receive things, just one thing, just one thing. You know, some of you, there's a lot of you that, you know, want to do so many things for the Lord, but you can't do anything, and that's that double-mindedness. But take what the Lord Jesus Christ has given you. Don't bury it, but use it. Occupy it, pray, and let receive more. And just like Brother Yearwood said, enter into the joy of the Lord. Let Him make you rule over. If you'll be faithful over a few things, He'll make you rule over many. Go ahead, brother.
Praise the Lord. You want to go ahead and tell about the church?
It's 114 East Main Street in Thompson, Georgia. Sunday morning, Sunday school 10, morning service at 11, Sunday night at 6 o'clock, and Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. Come and be with us.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. Sister Gladys, you want to tell us about your church?
Yes, it's 6367 U.S. 60 in Polksville, Kentucky. And we have service 10 a.m. in the morning on Sunday and 11 a.m. for preaching. And that night, 6 o'clock. And then on Wednesdays, we have it at 7. Everybody's welcome. It's the abundance of rain.
Praise the Lord. We appreciate that. So...
And if you're in the Madisonville Tennessee area or surrounding area, come and visit us at the Madisonville Church of God, 3895 New Highway 68 in Madisonville, Tennessee. Sunday school is at 10 a.m., 6:30 on Sunday night, and 7 p.m. on Wednesday night. And also, I'd like everybody to remember us because there's supposed to be some more severe weather coming in here tonight.
Praise
the
Lord.
We'll be praying.
Praise God. Okay, we got about 26 seconds left there, so we appreciate everybody coming in. Well, they're saying 10 seconds. Them seconds go by fast. So God bless you, and we love you, and so we'll talk to you again our next Tuesday night and Friday night. Brother and Sister Green's got a broadcast on. So just remember that. God bless everybody.
God bless everybody.
God bless.
Bye. Bye.